Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. If you're a woman who's satisfied with the way you look, you're one of the lucky ones. Many of us are insecure about our body image, and no wonder. We're bombarded with impossible standards of female beauty throughout media and culture. Instead of succumbing to the pressure, what if you could laugh it off, or at least recognize the ridiculousness of it all?
That approach has led our next guest to be dubbed a feminist humor maven by Ms. Magazine. She's a cultural observer, a teacher, a humorist, and a writer whose books have approached many of life's challenges with a lighter touch. Gina Bereka is professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut and a columnist with the Hartford Current. She's appeared on The Today Show, CNN, NPR, and Oprah to discuss gender, power, politics, and humor. Her earlier books include the best-selling They Used to Call Me Snow White, But I Drifted, Women's Strategic Use of Humor, and her latest book, If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse?
Welcome to Take Care, Gina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have made a name for yourself by pushing hot-button issues, and they're the kind that are often uncomfortable to discuss in a serious conversation. So with body image blamed for everything from eating disorders and depression to cosmetic surgery excesses, why humor? What does humor offer that analysis and research lack?
Humor allows us always to talk about taboo subjects, right? Humor has always been, you know, from Aristophanes to Tina Fey, humor has allowed cultures to discuss in public things that are usually kept private. And certainly how we feel about our bodies is one of the things that especially women feel like we're alone in it. We're the only ones who feel this way. We believe that everybody else feels better about herself than we do, which is one of those reasons why when you've got a bunch of girlfriends or even sometimes women who don't know each other, that's why those conversations in the bathroom, in the ladies' room, are always so important, because you find that everybody's thinking the same thing. You know, there's always laughter coming out of the ladies' room. There is rarely laughter coming out of the men's room, you know, because men are not sharing their same stories the way that women are. You see women standing in front of the mirror at a meeting, at a conference, at a wedding, wherever it is, and somebody is saying, oh, God, I can't stand this lipstick. And another woman is saying, I had a free gift from Clinique lipstick. It's been in my bottom of my bag since 1993. Would you like it? Because everybody's terrified about how she looks and that she's not going to look good. We got to stop this. We should look nice. You got to take a shower. You should probably, you know, part your hair. But it's okay to wear flat shoes. It really is.
You're right. There's always an instant connection and camaraderie when you're looking in the mirror at a public ladies' room. Now, for those of us who've lived through the 50s and 60s, the girdle has significant meaning. It wasn't as restrictive as a corset, but it did represent something. And that something went out the window during the bra-burning 70s. Now, in the very first chapter of your book, it's an essay about how far women have not come in terms of body image. And you bring up Spanx, which is labeled shapewear, a euphemistic term for basically a girdle. And as you say, a girdle is a girdle is a girdle. Describe Spanx for those who don't know it and explain what the return of this sort of thing means for women's self-image.
Well, the scary thing about Spanx, and I know it's a woman-owned company. Actually, Gloria Steinem said to me, do you really want to talk about it? It's a woman-owned company, and she's done stuff philanthropically. That's very nice, but I'm sorry. It's not only like a girdle, Spanx. It's this thing that you put on you that it's like putting yourself in one of those baggies that take the air out of everything so they can go into the freezer or so that you can pack more easily. It's made of fabric, right? Nylon, spandex kind of thing. And as I say, and you know, if you lean in, that the idea behind Spanx is the idea sort of it'll be a container where nothing will be allowed out. It will remain the same shape. The idea behind Spanx is that Jell-O will forget it's Jell-O, like if you put it in the thermos. But also, Spanx not only has it for at least our mothers and our grandmothers, when they put on a girdle, at least it was like for their waist and their stomachs and their behind. But now there's like Spanx for your arms. There's stuff that goes up to your neck. It goes all the way down your legs. I mean, and there have been studies that have been done, because I finally looked this up. I don't wear this kind of stuff. I just, you know, somebody said, you're going to try to lose weight for the summer. And I said, no, I'm just going to get a bigger tan. I've been exactly the same size since I was 20.
And you know, something that you mention in the book in that one chapter is that medical research shows that this is not even healthy. People can get reflux disease and any number of digestive problems from squeezing parts of our body that really aren't meant to be squeezed like that.
Right. And it's all encompassing. So you put yourself into this, like now it's all down your body. So it says that you get flatulence, it builds up gas because you can't digest it. And I just had this image of all of these elegant women in, you know, beautiful dresses that are form-fitting, but rising like helium balloons at the end of the evening because no bodily sort of fluids or gases could be released, sort of bobbing up against the ceiling.
Yes.
It was just sort of an odd image.
So how did we get back to this? That's really the question. Why are we here and why are we going along with this, especially the younger women?
It's the same reason that a lot of younger women refuse to use the F word, which is, of course, in our culture, feminism. They say, well, it doesn't really apply to me. We forget sometimes that rights are never given. Rights are always won. They're always fought for. They can be easily removed. And women's rights are also part of that. And so that women's ability to feel comfortable in our own skin and our own body is something that we need to do for ourselves. It does not come from the outside. We can actually resist forcing ourselves to think that the ideal of an absolutely stick-like figure or an absolutely smooth figure or an airbrush figure or mostly a Photoshopped figure, which is what these are. Even the real women who are in those pictures don't look like their own pictures. We can stop accepting that that's a way to keep us penned in and penned inside our own bodies. We need to have more fun. We need to think of our bodies as, you know, as I say in one of the other things, we need to think of our bodies as the way that Sophie Tucker thought about them. From, you know, 15 to 18, your body is sort of a temple. From 18 to 25, it's an amusement park. And now at my age, you know, I'm 59, my body is full of probiotics, so my body is a terrarium. You know, I mean, mostly I'm just really glad that everything works. And I think that that's what we have to do, is we have to start saying thank you to all the bits that work. I think if you keep looking at your legs and telling them that they're no good, your legs are going to start hurting. I mean, I'm no holistic doctor or anything. But, you know, somebody was telling me about you're supposed to have a bikini bridge now. Like there are supposed to be all these gases, you're supposed to have a bikini bridge. I thought my bikini bridge is the Verrazano. You know, there's an easy pass lane and a sign saying, you know, life is meaningful, right? Which actually the Verrazano has.
All right.
You don't throw yourself off of it. So 12 lanes and easy pass, that's fine. My bikini bridge should be the Verrazano. And I can laugh at that and say, what I want to do at the beach is not worry about whether somebody can look down my bikini bridge. I want to, you know, get a hot dog from the vendor and sit there with a glass of fresh lemonade and go play in the water like a person.
Okay, before we cross the bikini bridge, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today to talk about women and body image is Gina Baraka, professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut, and she's a columnist with Hartford Current. She has a new book out. It's called If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? Gina, you mentioned the bikini bridge, which is an obsession on social media. Young women take pictures looking down their skinny bodies, and the two pelvic bones hold up the bottom of the bikini, and it should stretch across from hip bone to hip bone and not touch anything. And this is the thing that's very scary. So you're experiencing this, obviously, as a writer and a humorist, but you're also seeing this on college campuses because you are a professor. You're in contact with young women of college age. What are you finding their approach is to body image? Are they worse off than their mothers? Better off? Or where do we stand?
Well, I think that one of the things that we need to accept is that older women need to accept the responsibility for modeling behavior for younger women. So it's, you know, if we keep worrying about how we look, even when we get to the point where you know, we're not supposed to be judging ourselves or offering ourselves to the world based on, you know, how skinny our genes are. I mean, again, to compare us to men, women feel like we've gained weight if we can't fit into the jeans we wore in high school. Men feel like they've gained too much weight if they can't fit into a foreign car. You know, I mean, it's really just a different standard that is applied, so that we need to model to our daughters and the younger women in our lives that we're not just going to be worried about how we look, but how we live. I mean, it is a way that we need to look. And also, it's the idea that women, by doing the whole bikini bridge thing and judging themselves that way, young women, it's still judging themselves as desirable because of taking up the least space in the world. That you're supposed to be small, you're supposed to be quiet, you're supposed to make yourself as tiny and as inobtrusive as possible, and that's the way you're going to make the biggest impression. There's an inherent contradiction between that. I think that, you know, again, women of all ages need to make noise, speak up, not lean in, but stand up to have a good time. And that's where, you know, engaging with a sense of humor, you know, having a louder laugh, having a smarter wisecrack, having a better comeback, and having more fun in life is really going to have a bigger payoff than making sure your bikini bridge is, you know, held up by engineers.
If only it was that easy, you know? You know, you bring up men and not fitting into a foreign car, but and it's not talked about as often, but men also are under some pressure to have six-pack abs and bulging muscles. But let's face it, it's a culture that is driven by looks and a lot of superficial things. But even given that, women are under more scrutiny, and I wonder what it's going to take to change. And again, as you mentioned, it has to come from within each of us. It has to come from mothers and daughters and older women mentoring good behavior. But on the other hand, you have incredible social media out there, body shaming people, bullying and tormenting young girls, girls bullying other girls. What do you think the role of social media is playing? It's kind of exacerbating and just putting too much of a focus on looks. What's your thought?
It's absolutely terrifying. I mean, it really is. And again, my students talk about it often. And I think that the way, I mean, first of all, it needs to be said out loud so that when somebody comes up, if somebody comes up to me and says, do you, you know, you look good, did you lose weight? And I said, if I look good, it's because I just had like the best macaroni and cheese. You know, that it had lobster in it and it was fabulous and I'm really happy. You know, that's why I look good. It's not that somehow, again, diminishing oneself is associated with, if my students come in and say, I was so bad today. And I said, what, did you sleep with your cousin? You know, what do you mean? It's like, no, I you know, I had a muffin. I said, do not come in and tell me that you're judging your moral life. Do not use that language. Bad is not this. Bad is like if you sold drugs to school children. Don't tell me you're bad because you ate something. You can't use that language in my office. And they laugh, but they hear it. You know? I mean, that we cannot, this whole idea of I was bad, I was good, you look good because you lost weight. This is again, why I tell people how much I weigh from the stage the first time that I get up there. And somebody said to me, really, you look like you lost weight. And I said, no, I weigh exactly. She said, what size are you? And I said, you know what? In an Armani, I'm a 12. And at Dots Dress Barn, I'm a 22W. Because women also know that the more we pay for our clothes, the smaller the size we will be. And men don't do that. Men do not go. You haven't ever heard a man say, I'm going to be a 42 short by the holidays. Right?
Never.
Men don't try to fit themselves into clothes. Women try to shape our bodies to fit something that's on a hanger. And we do that in terms of our lives. We think, well, this is what a good mother looks like. This is what a good daughter looks like. This is what a good friend looks like. And we try to tailor our lives to fit something that's out there, as opposed to saying, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what my vocation is, and making those things fit us. There's still a lot of work we need to do.
Gina, it's been wonderful having you on Take Care. Thank you so much.
It's been entirely my pleasure. Thank you.
Gina Borecka is a professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut and a columnist with the Hartford Current. She's appeared on the Today Show, NPR, Oprah, and CNN to discuss gender, power, politics, and humor. Her new book is If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? Good luck with that book, and thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.